Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Do you ever find that hard to believe? Maybe you're here and you don't know if you believe it at all. After all, it's something that supposedly happened around AD 33. That's a long time ago. Pretty hard to stake your life on a historical event that happened 2,000 years ago. So maybe you find that a little bit hard to believe. So let's do an experiment this morning. What if this happened 1,500 years ago? Let's zoom Jesus' resurrection a little bit closer to us, and let's say it was only 1,500 years ago. Would it then be easier to believe? So we'll go back to 517 AD. This was a major year with some gripping political scandal. Okay, I'm sure you guys have heard about it. King Sigismund of Burgundy was the rightful heir of the Burgundian throne. Okay, fascinating stuff. And his son, Sigeric, wanted to be king. So here's what happened. King Sigismund strangled his son for opposing his rule. And I'm pretty sure that that's when the hashtag Never Sigismund started trending on Twitter. Okay? It was a crazy year, AD 517. If Jesus rose from the dead then, would it be easier to believe? Maybe not. What about 1,000 years ago? 1017 A.D. This was another incredibly important year, featuring one of those major celebrity weddings. I'm sure you guys read about it in Us Weekly. This was the year that King Canute the Great, everybody loves King Canute of England, he married Emma of Normandy. Man, it was a big deal, this fantastic celebrity wedding. So 1017 A.D., if we fast forward and move the resurrection of Jesus to 1,000 years ago, would it be easier to believe? Maybe not. What if Jesus' resurrection was 241 years ago? That was, after all, the beginning of the United States of America. We haven't really been around for that long. 241 years ago, around this time, the British were evacuating Boston after being defeated by General Washington. Maybe if Jesus rose from the dead then, and guys like Washington and Franklin and Jefferson and those guys talked about it, maybe then it would be easier to believe. Or maybe not. Or what if the resurrection is 20 years ago? 20 years ago. What is that, math wizards here? 1997. The year the Cleveland Indians lost in Game 7 to the Florida Marlins. Maybe then, if the resurrection of Jesus was reported as happening 20 years ago, maybe nobody would have a hard time believing it. And yet you might be surprised to know that we actually have reports of Christians in a city named Corinth that received a letter from an apostle named Paul because they were doubting the resurrection. So even 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead, there were people that wondered, can we really believe this? Maybe if you're here and you're still a skeptic, maybe it would be easier for you to believe that Jesus really rose from the dead if it happened last week. What if last week, let's say 8 days ago, there were reports that Jesus Christ, who is publicly crucified, is now walking around appearing to people. And let's just say that 10 of your closest friends said, I saw him alive. Maybe you're here and you say, well, if that happened, then yes, I would definitely believe. Let me introduce you to a man who went through that very same thing, and yet he didn't believe. You've got a Bible or you've got an app on your phone, you can go to John chapter 20. The Gospel of John in chapter 20. Many of you know the story of a guy named Thomas. One of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And 8 days prior to the events in our text this morning, the disciples, including some of the women that had followed Jesus, went to the tomb early that Sunday morning, perhaps around April 5th, 33 A.D. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, three of his followers, they went to the tomb early on Sunday morning. The day before was the Sabbath. And if you know anything about the history of Judaism, you know that the Sabbath was a day in which you could not work. And they wanted to anoint the body of Jesus, so they go early Sunday morning to do that. And when they get there, they find a stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. Peter shows up, and John show up, and they see the empty tomb. At this point, there's buzz in the air. Everybody's frantic. Nobody knows what happened. Maybe someone stole his body, has desecrated it. What's going on? So the disciples, the followers of Jesus, get back into their kind of hiding place up in an upper room somewhere, and they're huddled together. They're afraid. Perhaps they're worried that they're going to be attacked by Rome. And sometime Sunday night, 10 of those disciples saw the risen Jesus Christ. I said 10. We know that Judas, who betrayed Jesus, hanged himself. But there was another guy who was missing. His name was Thomas. We don't know why Thomas was gone. Maybe Peter sent him out for Chinese. We don't know. For some reason, all the disciples are gathered together and Thomas is gone and Jesus comes and he appears to them. He is risen. And Thomas comes back with some General Tso's and a couple egg rolls. And everybody says, dude, we don't care about the Chinese food anymore. Right? He is alive. And Thomas, his reply is stunning. Look with me in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Some of you respect that. This is a guy that wants empirical proof, and then he'll believe. But keep going. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Will you pray with me for just a moment? God, again, we come to you and we ask for your help, because you tell us in your word that apart from your Spirit, we can't fully understand what you've written for us. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be present in a special way to speak to us. Preach louder than I can preach. Do what I cannot do and speak to the heart. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one simple desire in this message this morning, brother, sister, friend. My desire is that you would believe. That you would believe. I know that there are all kinds of people in this room this morning. Some of you are committed believers. Some of you are struggling believers. Some of you are seeking and maybe wishing and hoping that you could believe, but you haven't yet found faith. Some of you are skeptical. But I believe that in this story, This story of this man who doubted the resurrection 8 days after it happened, we can find belief. And so here's what I want to do very simply this morning. I want to ask, or have basically three statements in a question. Statement number one, Jesus really lived. Two, Jesus really died. Number three, Jesus really rose. And then conclude with a question, do you really believe? So, statement number one, Jesus really lived. It's a little grumpy at CNN lately. Some of you want to say amen. I'm not grumpy because of anything political. I'm grumpy because of something spiritual. One of the religion contributors to CNN wrote an article about the historical Jesus. And here was a quote from his article. He said, "On Easter Sunday, millions of Christians worldwide marked the resurrection of Jesus. Though Christians clash over many issues, almost all agree that he existed." Okay. Maybe you didn't catch that. I have a lot of problems with that statement. Problem number one, he says, millions of Christians worldwide marked the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. Okay? I checked with NPR's recent report this morning. There are 2.1 or so billion Christians in the world. Okay? This guy says millions. Okay? That's a little, we're just going to slip this in there. This is this kind of small minority over here that celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Here's my second problem. He says, Christians clash over many issues. Okay, now let's be honest for a second. Do Christians fight amongst ourselves sometimes? Yeah, some of you guys are like, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, sure, we've seen it. But here's the deal. We, for 2,000 years, have agreed on the most important things consistently. We agree that Jesus Christ really was. We agree that He really lived, He really died, He really rose from the dead, and that we can have life through faith in Him. We might clash here and there, but to say we clash over many issues is probably an overstatement. But here's the one that really got me. He said, though Christians clash over many issues, almost all Christians agree that Jesus existed. The word Christian means follower of Jesus. Okay? There might be a group of people that call themselves the followers of the Easter Bunny. Or the followers of Santa Claus. Or the followers of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And if they're out there, even though I would disagree with them, I would say they probably agree that that character exists. Can I say something? If you don't think Jesus really existed, you're not a Christian. Just period. Can we at least agree on that? If you're here and that's you, okay, welcome. We're glad you're here. We hope you learned something today. If nothing else, we hope you learn a little bit better than what CNN might teach you, what we really believe. So we believe that Jesus really lived. Now there are some that deny the existence of Jesus. They say Jesus never really existed. But there are also people that believe that the earth is flat. So, yeah, we'll just stop there. If you are here this morning, and you, perhaps, we don't want to make fun of you, but if you're here and you say, well, man, I really don't know if Jesus existed, there's some disagreement here. Well, sure, there are some that disagree. But let me show you what you would have to believe in order to disbelieve the existence of Jesus, okay? You would have to believe that the four accounts of his life by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are completely false, totally made up, okay? You would have to believe that the New Testament writings by Paul and the other apostles are made up and they're about a character that never really existed. You would have to believe that the references to Jesus by ancient historians like Josephus, Julius Africanus, Pliny the Younger, Tacitus, Lucian of Samosata, Suetonius, Thallus, you'd have to say all of those references by other historians that didn't believe in Jesus, that they were all complete forgeries. You'd have to believe that thousands of Christians in the first century, including Jesus' own disciples, willingly gave their lives to die for a made-up fairy tale. You'd have to believe today that over 2 billion Christians, nearly one-third of the world's population, have given their lives to worship a man who never even existed. Can I say something to you, friend? Unbelief is more unbelievable than belief. Now, we believe firmly, fiercely, that Jesus really lived. But his life wasn't very special. By our standards, it wasn't special at all. He never traveled very far from his hometown. He never wrote a song. He never watched Star Wars. He never ran for political office. He never liked anything on Facebook. He never watched anything on YouTube. He never wrote a book. He never married. He never had sex. He never tweeted. He never attended college. He never owned a business. He died homeless and poor. Nonetheless, one author writes, Jesus is the most famous person in all human history. More songs have been sung to him, artwork created of him, and books written about him than anyone who has ever lived. In fact, Jesus looms so large over human history that we actually measure time by him. Our calendar is divided into years before and after his birth. No army, nation, or person has changed human history to the degree that Jesus, the homeless man, has. End quote. Brother, sister, friend, Jesus really existed. He really lived. Now, do you believe that he really existed? You should. All of you, none of you have ever seen him. Like Thomas, you might be tempted to say, unless I see, I will never believe. But Jesus reminds us in our text this morning, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Will you believe? But there's more to believe. We believe not only that Jesus really lived, but we believe that Jesus really died. Now, in one sense, this is obvious, isn't it? But today is Easter Sunday, and the truth is, even though many Americans and many in the West, we know the story behind Christmas, but there are many people in the West that don't know the story behind Easter. If you type in your Google browser, what is, and start spelling out the word good. One of the options that will pop up for you is, what is Good Friday? People don't know what Good Friday is. They don't know what Easter Sunday is. And can I submit to you, it's more than about some freaky bunny who hands out pastel decorated eggs to children. It's the story of a man that died on a cross and rose from the dead. But there are skeptics that say, okay, here's what happened. Jesus really lived, sure, we get that. But on the cross, he didn't really die. In fact, he died sometime later. Here's what happened. Jesus was on the cross, and at some point on the cross, he fell into a comatose state. He basically slipped into a coma on the cross. And everybody thought that he was dead. And so they carry him off the cross, they wrap him up in grave clothes, they put him in a tomb, and then 3 days later, voila, Jesus wakes up. And he says, hey guys, I rose from the dead. Okay, can I submit to you, unbelief is more unbelievable than belief. If you were to buy the idea that Jesus just fell asleep on the cross and woke up 3 days later, here's what you'd have to believe. You'd have to believe that Jesus endured a sleepless night of trials and beatings, 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails from Roman soldiers, a crown of spikes bashed into his skull, nails through his hands and his feet. All of this without dying. You'd have to believe that the professional executioner, whose job is to make sure dudes are dead, who takes a spear and pierces Jesus' heart sack, and blood and water pours out, you'd have to believe that somehow he messed up. You'd have to believe all of this, and that Jesus is able to survive for 3 days in a cold, dark, empty tomb without clothing or medical attention. And somehow he's able then to wake up and trick people into thinking that he rose from the dead. If we could believe that all of that happened, and Jesus really could do all of that, don't you think when he came to the disciples and said, "I just rose from the dead," they would be like, "Dude, you need an ambulance. Man, you look awful. You look, man, you need medical attention." Brother, sister, friends, unbelief is more unbelievable than belief. As important as it is to understand that Jesus really did die on the cross, there's something that's just as important for you to understand. And that is why Jesus died. Jesus did not die a victim. He didn't die in an unexpected sort of tragic death. Jesus died fully expecting to die. For weeks and weeks leading up to his crucifixion, Jesus continually predicted his death. And here's what he said about his death in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." What is a ransom? We usually think of this word in terms of kidnapping, right? You take someone and then you give them a ransom note. "Pay this and you will receive your child back." A ransom is to rescue someone, to buy them back. In ancient times, it was used to buy someone back out of slavery. So here's the picture. From the very beginning of the Bible, even though it was written over the span of a couple thousand years by dozens of authors in three or four different languages, it has one consistent story. And here's the story. Man and woman have disobeyed God. We've sinned against Him. And God is a holy God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. And He says in His Word that no sin can go unpunished. And so God must punish sin. And yet God, in His great love and great mercy, He sent Jesus Christ to bear the punishment for us. That is the story of Easter. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died a death on a cross, and rose from the dead so that we can have life. Jesus died for you, friend. He died because you and I deserve to die. He died because our sin warranted for us eternal separation from God. So Jesus tasted separation from God in your place. Let me ask you, do you believe? Do you believe that? Maybe you're here and you say, "Well, unless I see it, I can't believe it." Jesus would say to you, just as He said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." It's the third thing we must believe. The tomb is really empty. Jesus really rose. Jesus really rose from the dead. Listen to John chapter 20, verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple," that's John, "the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as of yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. There still are skeptics that would admit Jesus really lived, Jesus really died, but he didn't really rise from the dead. Maybe that's you this morning. There's a couple of arguments that people use. One is to say that Jesus' body was stolen. Jesus' body was stolen. Now, here's the problem with that argument. Who stole Jesus' body? The Jews, the religious leaders of the day, had absolutely no motive to steal Jesus' body. They wanted him to stay down. The Romans, what motive would they have to steal the body of Jesus? In fact, the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb, they would face a death sentence for even allowing Jesus out. So who is left? The disciples. And some would say, yes, it was the disciples who stole the body. Here's what we're supposed to believe then. That this ragtag group of 11 men who were so afraid, they scattered when Jesus was arrested. One of them, their ringleader, Peter, who got afraid when a little girl asked him about his relationship with Jesus and he denied that he even knew him. We're supposed to believe that these men lead a charge to rescue and steal the body of Jesus. And here's the major problem in that argument. If the disciples stole the body, why were they not arrested by the religious leaders? Why were they not arrested? And why does history not tell us that men like Peter, James, and John were arrested and put to death rather than following Jesus for decades after before finally they died as martyrs? It doesn't make any sense. Another argument is to say this, that the disciples went to the wrong tomb. Here's the way it goes. It was dark, early Sunday morning. Lots of tombs in the area. And so Mary and Martha and Salome, they get there and they're so excited and they walk into this tomb. Oh man, it's empty. Jesus must be alive. And then the disciples follow them and they go to the wrong tomb too. The real problem is that they need a GPS. Right? So they get to the wrong tomb and oh my goodness, everybody believes Jesus is alive. Here's the major problem with that argument. All the Pharisees have to do is say, hey guys, over here. Here's Jesus' body. Quit following this Jesus. He's not alive. His body's right over here. Check the address twice next time. Doesn't make any sense. So here's the spot where the rubber really meets the road. Is Jesus really risen? You say, well, that would require that someone can actually come back from the dead. Yes, it would. That would require believing in the supernatural. Yes, it would. That would require believing in miracles. Yes, it would. It's the most beautiful miracle in all of human history. Jesus Christ really is alive. So here's the question I would ask to you, friend. Do you really believe? The truth is, some of you want to stay neutral on the issue. You know, maybe Jesus rose from the dead, maybe he didn't. You know what, I'm kind of just going to wait and see. And we'll make a decision later. Can I submit to you, this is one question you may not remain neutral on. Picture your wedding day. And there you are, looking in the eyes of your bride or your groom, and you get asked the question by the pastor, do you take this man? Or do you take this woman? How would it go for you if you just kind of respond with, you know what, I'm neutral on this issue right now. We're going to kind of wait and see, and I'll get back to you. Wrong. Right? Can I submit to you something this morning, friend? This claim that Jesus is risen is far more important than 1,000 wedding days. This is bigger than all of that. You cannot remain neutral on this. You can't. So either you say, He is risen indeed, or you will deny it. But friend, I invite you, I plead with you, to believe. To believe. Some of you feel like Thomas. And even right now, you're surrounded by many people that believe. You might feel like Thomas did in that upper room, surrounded by disciples that say Jesus really is alive, and you just want to see Him. You just want to see Him with your eyes. I would submit to you to remember the words of Jesus. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Some of you here perhaps think that maybe in the line of thinking of Karl Marx, that religion is the opiate for the masses. You know, if believing that Jesus rose from the dead helps you, good for you, great, that's great. But I don't need that sort of thing. In fact, my life is pretty fine not believing in the spiritual. Believing in Christianity is just for people that need a crutch. It's for weaker people that struggle through trials, and so they invented this Jesus to believe in. Can I submit to you that that doesn't make sense if you look at the facts? This past Monday, in Alexandria, Egypt, there was a mass funeral. 17 coffins lined out, each one with a single word, martyr, painted on the top of the coffin. Most of you heard perhaps that there were twin ISIS bombings that killed 44 people and injured another 100 on Palm Sunday last week in Egypt. So there's a funeral service on Monday, and the church leader preached this funeral sermon. Listen to the title for his sermon: A Message to Those Who Kill Us. Here's what he said. If I could say a word to the ISIS terrorists that are killing us, here's what he said. You gave us to die the same death as Christ. And this is the biggest honor we could have. And then he said this to his followers, his fellow Christians gathered that had filled that sanctuary to the brim. He said this: how about we make a commitment to pray for them? Pray that they will know the love of God. Can I say something to you, skeptic, this morning? That does not make sense if Christianity is merely a crutch for weak people. These are people that are saying, I am going to believe that Jesus is alive, even if gathering means I might die. Even if worshiping Him means that martyr might be on the lid of my coffin. Even if it means I might bury my sister or my mom or my son, I will worship Him anyways. Why? Because He really is alive. The Christian message is not about a crutch for us. It's about receiving the hope that only comes in Jesus Christ. And that only makes sense if He really is alive. If Jesus is alive, then we are of all people most to be followed and appreciated and loved because we understand the truth. If Jesus is dead, we are of all people most to be pitied because we have risked our lives on a lie. But can I submit to you that He really is risen? He is risen indeed. You're here this morning and you're still skeptical. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to take some time to read for yourself about this Jesus? Great place to start is the Gospel of Mark, It's the shortest of the four accounts of Jesus' life. And read for yourself who Jesus is. Don't leave it up to some YouTube video or some tweet somewhere. Just read for yourself the life and the legacy and the words of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark would be a great place to start. If you're here and you say, well, I have weak faith, this is hard to believe, I would say to you, join the club. And I mean that quite literally. Join the club. We are not the people that have it all together. At Bekosin Baptist Church, this is not a museum for saints. This is a hospital for sinners. You ever notice the difference between watching the way that someone dresses up for a job interview and the way that someone dresses up to go to the emergency room? You watch, if you just, next time you're in the ER, maybe you'll go this afternoon just for a little Easter experiment. Go to the ER and look at the way that people dress. I don't mean to demean anybody, but I mean, dude, when your arm's falling off, you just go with what you got on, right? Whatever. I mean, you don't dress up. You don't put on your makeup, right? You don't shower first or shave. You just go. You've got an emergency. You're broken. You need help. When you go into a job interview, what is it? Best foot forward. I'm going to polish up. I'm going to look nice. I'm going to smell nice. I'm going to use Listerine. This is all going to be good. I got to present myself and look good so I can get a position. Guess what? This is not a job interview. This is a hospital. It's Easter Sunday. We're all dressed up nice. By the way, take a picture of me in the tie because you might not see it again until next year. Here we are. We're on our, we got our Sunday finest. It's Easter Sunday. Praise God, this is awesome. But what we are a hospital for broken people. We're not the people that have it all together. We're not the people with perfect faith. We're the people who have faith in the perfect one. And His name is Jesus Christ. It's not about us and what we can do. It's about Him and what He has done. Will you believe? Brother, sister, friend, we really do believe this is true. As weird as it seems, we really are the people that believe a dead man came back to life. We really are the people that believe He is worth giving everything for and to. And we invite you to join us as we follow Jesus together. We'll close our service with song in just a moment. Just one final invitation to you. If you're here and you'd like to talk to someone a little bit more about what it means to follow Jesus, have someone pray with you, answer your questions. If you still have questions, and I'm sure you do, we'd love to do that for you. The end of the building, there is a table there, and there'll be some folks there willing to answer questions about Christianity, about the church. I'll be at the back with my wife. I'd love to talk to you and get to know you a little bit. Love to take you out to coffee or lunch and share with you a little bit more about what Jesus has done in my life. Maybe you were here invited by someone that calls PBC home. So go out to lunch with that person or spend some time with them in this coming week and ask them, do you really believe this stuff? Tell me why. Talk to me about it and learn and grow and let us come alongside you and help you because we believe that this is worth giving everything for. Please stand with me and we'll close in prayer before we sing.